This is Mandy.
And this is Leanne.
And you're listening to Two Blonde Sleuths. All right. Today, I've got a kind of true crime, kind of mystery case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is episode 14?
14.
All right. Today, I'm going to talk about the disappearance of Marion Barter. This is an Australian case, and I found it through a podcast that I listened to called The Prosecutors, and it led me to another podcast called The Lady Vanishes.
The ones that you tell me I couldn't listen to because you really want to do this story.
Yes.
And now I know nothing.
Yes. And it's an it happened in Australia. Well, that's where it's based on. That's where the podcast happened. And it got over 9 million downloads. Like it went, got real big in Australia. And then it came all over the world or United States. I know that. But the podcast did. And it's a 25-year-old mystery at this point. But The Lady Vanishes started in 2019. And it's an investigated in real time, which is pretty cool. Like between 2019 to now, it's actually still going on.
Oh.
And it's got twists and turns and everything a mystery. Interesting case has, but that like her daughter, Sally, she had Marion Barter, who I'm going to get into. She has a daughter, Sally, and a son, but her daughter, Sally, just like would not give up in these 25 years of looking for her mom and figure out what happens. And so that's what she's involved in the Lady Vanishes podcast. Sally is the daughter, and she's probably about 40 now, I would say. But so this case, it happened in the 90s. 1997 is when she disappeared.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you about Marion Barter.
Okay.
All right. So Marion is an Australian missing person. She was born October 3rd, 1945, and she's the mother of two, and she is a teacher. She'd always been a teacher. She's 3-time divorced, but her first husband was a famous soccer player, and over there, Australia, UK, that's kind of like football here. She says that was the love of her life, but her kids were by her second husband, and then she was married another time, and at this time, when she disappears in 1997, she's single as far as her daughter knows or anybody in her life, right? She's not married at this time. So in 1997, Marion's 51 years old, and she works at a prestigious boys' school. It's some real exclusive private school, and it was located on the Gold Coast. It's a place in Australia. So she works at this school and she wins like a Teacher of the Year award like in 1996 and seems to be doing really good. But supposedly a lot of the teachers were jealous of her and talked about her and she was just unhappy in her life. Well, I'll get into this. That's something they get into in The Lady Vanishes. But there was some allegations in the school, like some misconduct of like the teachers mistreating the students or some kind of sexual abuse or something.
Oh.
But that hasn't come up at this time. It's just that she tells her daughter, I'm unhappy at school now. The teachers aren't all nice to me. And I'm going to sell my house and put in my 2-week notice or whatever at the school. And I'm going to take a year-long vacation to the UK. Okay. So her daughter's like, okay, because her daughter and son are grown at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So she's able to do whatever she wants. And her daughter, she's engaged to be married. And she just finished college. And she's like, okay, mom, do whatever you want. So she's decided she wants to go on this year-long holiday. So Marion sells her house and she puts her things in storage. And okay, I want to point out two strange things that do happen that we'll circle back to that are a little bit, may have some relevance to the end of what we talk about. All right. So Marion, she sells her house. She actually takes a $15,000 loss on it, but I'm pretty sure it was paid for because we'll get into later. She has a big lump sum of money in the bank. And that was from the sale of the house. So she's decided she's going to do that, put her stuff in storage. So one of these things, not long before she leaves, Sally and her husband, they're like driving through a McDonald's and they see Marion in her car and they see a man in her car with her. And he's like, all they can tell is he's dark headed. And her daughter's like, I didn't know my mom was like seeing anyone. So later she says something to her mom like, oh, I caught you. I saw you with that guy. And she just kind of blew it off. Her mom blew it off, didn't say who it was, didn't say anything.
I wouldn't have let that.
She got front end. So Sally was like, okay. And then the other strange thing that happened is her son, soon to be son-in-law, was helping her move and they were packing boxes. And then all of a sudden, Marion asked the son-in-law, soon to be son-in-law, what time is it? And he tells her blah, blah, blah time. And she says, oh my gosh, you have to go. You have to go now. And he's like, okay, we're not even finished packing. She's like, no, that's fine. You've got to go. And he thought that was really strange. Like she was expecting someone to come over.
Yeah.
Something.
That's weird.
Okay. So next thing they know, she's.
Again, I probably would have asked more questions.
Yeah. Well, you're not your mother-in-law, but you may have called your mom and said, Mom, why were you.
Yeah.
Why'd you
what's that?
Rush my fiance out of the house. But that was a little strange. So she gets ready. I think it was a friend of hers, takes her to at the train station, bus station, and she's going to the airport, Surfers Paradise in Queensland, to get to the airport to go on a planned long-term vacation to England, right? She goes on her travels alone, as far as her daughter Sally knows. She sends postcards back home from every little place that she goes. And one of the things she was supposed to do, which they found out she never did for some reason, but she bought a ticket for the Orient Express.
Oh,
I thought that was cool.
Like, yeah, cool.
And it's kind of weird because the murder on the Orient Express.
Uh-huh.
But she sends Sally postcards. And one time she calls her and they have this really long talk and she's just like, oh, I'm so happy to talk to you. And she keeps their time keeps running out back when they had payphones in the 90s. And she keeps putting money in until her change runs out. And then the phone gets disconnected. So she did tell Sally, like, I'm going to really enjoy this, try to be engulfed in this vacation. I may not talk to you for a little while. Okay. So Sally's like, okay, yeah, that's great. And she even talks about, I may move here. I love it.
Yeah.
So Sally's like, that's fine. So a couple months go by and Sally just thinks that maybe not a couple months, but a month or so goes by. And Sally just thinks she's engulfed in her.
She's living it up.
She's living it up. Well, then her son's birthday happens and they hear nothing from their mom. No card, no phone call. Mm-hmm. And that's when Sally starts to think, that's when she starts to get worried.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's had no contact from her mom and it's her brother's birthday. She would never miss her brother's birthday, not any kind of communication at all. So Sally contacts the police and her mom's bank. That's the only thing back in the 90s, I guess she's supposed to be in Europe and Sally's in Australia. So it's who do you contact? So she actually just wants to see if there's any activity in her mother's bank in Australia. And so she contacts the bank and she finds out from the bank that someone in Australia, the girl probably shouldn't have told her this, but she did over the phone, that someone has been coming in the bank every day for the last 3 weeks and taking $5,000 out a day out of her bank account. This teller tells Sally this. So that freaks Sally out. So she calls the police again.
But she actually spoke to her mother on the phone, like heard her voice. So
she did at that time. That she was
lines.
Yeah, but it's been like a couple months.
That's right. That's right.
And the person is taking the money out of the bank in Australia.
Yeah.
Back in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Not too far from where they lived.
Yeah.
Okay. So the teller tells her that. So Sally is like, I'm going to the bank. I mean, it's a little ways away, but you know, she drives there. She goes to the bank and she shows the teller a picture of her mom. And she's like, this is my mom. Have you seen her? I was told she's been coming in, or somebody that's posing as her coming in, taking $5,000 from the bank every day. And so the teller, he kind of acts weird, she said. And he's like, well, hold on just a minute. And he takes the picture and shows his manager. Then he makes a copy of it. And it made her feel like there was something he wasn't telling her.
Yeah.
Like, is he freaked out thinking we gave her money?
Or we gave money to somebody that wasn't her.
Yeah. And so I feel like he's kind of freaked out. Now she's really freaked out. So she reports her mother missing with the Byron Bay police in Australia.
Did they say it was a man or a woman coming in to get money?
They say it's a woman. I mean, they didn't really say actually at that time. So Sally, she contacts the police because she thinks they're acting suspicious and everything's weird. So she actually, not long after, she receives a call back from the police. They said they located her mom and that she didn't want anyone to know where she was or what she was doing. So that's upsetting, of course, to Sally and the kids. And there's a couple of things, like the bank had asked her mom some kind of questions that made them believe it was her.
Like security questions.
Security questions. And there's one thing about, okay, so Sally's mom, when she put her stuff in storage, she left Sally with her car. And she said, you sell your car, drive my car. And when you sell your car, put the money, because Sally's mom, I guess, had a better car, put the money for my car in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there is something that really does make Sally think that maybe that was her mother. And Scaselli's granddad, Marion's dad, at this time is also looking for her, calling the bank, calling the police. And they said that she actually made a comment that she was mad that Sally never put the money in her bank for that car. So that kind of makes them think that really is her. So the grandfather, actually Sally, I heard in The Lady Vanishes, she's talking on the podcast.
Did she not ever put the money in?
Well, she said it felt bad. She said, I was going to put the money in there. It was like $7,500. And her granddad said, no, don't put the money in there. If she doesn't want anything to do with us, you keep the money for you. Like he's angry.
Yeah.
And her family's telling her, like, don't worry about your mom. Obviously, she doesn't want to be in your life. She doesn't want to be
But it's just kind of out of the, like, out of character almost.
Yeah, she was, like, this really good teacher, and I don't know, it just seemed kind of strange. I mean, she did say she wanted a vacation. She wanted to kind of leave everything. So they're really thinking she really does want to leave everything and leave us, and Sally, you need to move on. And they're, like, accepting it because they're, like, the police said they talked to her.
Yeah.
But to me, talking to her and actually physically seeing her are two different
things. Yeah, very different.
So they want her to go. And her father, Marion's father, in February 1998, he, John Wilson, asked the Salvation Army Missing Persons Bureau to find his daughter. So in March, they call her dad back. And that's when they said, they tell him this time they spoke to the bank and the police had spoke to the bank, and that when they mentioned the car thing. And that's when he's like, okay, they really do think it was her.
Because nobody else would really have any need to know that.
They talked about that. And then they said Marion withdrew the balance of her account and was talking about how she wanted to start a new life. So her dad, of course, is upset. Everybody's upset. But they're like, okay, so October that year. October of that year, Sally gets married. Marion doesn't attend it. 2001, Sally gives birth to her first child. Never hears from her mom.
Marion's grandchild.
Yep. 2002, tragically, this is awful, Marion's son Owen commits suicide. Yeah, the son. After years of battling drug addiction.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Marion doesn't attend his funeral.
She doesn't even know. They don't know how to even
know her. And he was 27 years old. In 2003, Marion's father passes. Nothing. Don't hear from her.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's like, bam.
Sally just, for years, she just feels like this is not right. Like, I don't think my mom just left us. And so she's, like, trying to call the police, trying to get her mom on the missing persons database, because there's a lot of, like, unknown, like, Jane Doe's bodies and bones that are found. And if your person is not in the database,
they don't
ever link it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's trying to get them on there for years. That fails. They just say that everybody keeps saying that she went missing voluntarily. So in 2019, the Lady Vanishes podcast launches.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of the podcast, it's Channel 7 News that starts this podcast, and they really get the ball rolling. But
man, I wonder how did they sign down tonight?
Well, Sally has contacted them. I mean, she has gone to the media.
Yeah.
She was interviewed on, like, some Woman's Day, I think it's a talk show, about her mom's missing, and that she just feels like she's not.
But she's just getting the word out there, and they just picked it up.
She just relentlessly keeps going and keeps going.
Yeah.
And they even think, you know what, maybe we'll find her. And Sally's like, I don't care. I hope she's alive and well and doesn't want anything to do with me. But I just need to make sure of that.
Yeah.
Because I have feelings that is not true. That there, all these things have happened in my life. And I don't think, even if she wanted to start a new life, would she really not make any contact after all this time? So Sally, they get the ball rolling of this podcast. Everything, they just start to, it just gets, it like grows national attention to this podcast. Them looking for this woman. So they find out a few things. First, they find out that Marion changed her name legally even before she left on her trip to Flora Bella Natalia Marion Rimical.
What?
Yeah. She had changed her name and she got a passport in that name. The passport.
And didn't tell her children that she was doing that.
No.
That is,
and the passport was used to come back to Australia, come to find out. And that's when, then after that, the money started being taken out. Okay. So they do feel like the podcast. It's really starting to feel like that was Marion. That,
like, married is law. Like, she's flipped out. Changed her name.
There's so much more.
That's what it sounds like, Marion. At this point, it sounds like Marion just flipped it and was like, I'm done with that life.
Yeah. And that's what everybody is thinking. Mm-hmm. That's what they even thought when they probably happened when they started this podcast.
Yeah.
In 2019. I mean, they're like, maybe that's what happened. So they do see that she changed her name. She got a passport in that name. Okay, the passport was used to come back to Australia, like I said. She said you check little boxes on the passport.
Mm-hmm.
She said she was married and a housewife and only staying for 3 days. And then
the UK.
You know, she was in Australia when she came back to Australia. Okay. And so I guess it's hard to get money out from a different country like that. Or
they don't have, I don't think banks go from country to country.
So yeah, it's not like that. If somebody came back to Australia with this passport, but they never left Australia, okay? And then that's when the money started coming out. So they were like, they just started, at the podcast, they started thinking all these things. Like, did she change her name? But it also said she was married. Did I say that? Okay,
yeah.
She was married and a housewife.
Yeah.
And her, okay, there's one thing that you need to remember. It says that her place of where she lives was Lexingburg.
Okay.
Okay. So just remember, that's where she said she was from. And that was where she resided and that all these few things. Okay. They were thinking all these. They didn't know what to think. They thought, was it allegations from the school? Because they start to uncover that there was some misconduct and
From her? Like she?
Well, it was from other people in the school, but one of the people that did accuse her, that person was actually really accused of it.
Okay.
So they're thinking maybe she was falsely accused. And that's just something that they uncover while doing the Lady Vanishes podcast. That's one thing they think. And then they even said, oh, she joined a cult, which they say they keep referring to Scientology because there's a Scientology church. And you're not supposed to talk to anybody that's not a Scientologist if you're not.
Yeah.
So they think that. They don't know what it is. I mean, they're just trying to find her any clues or anything, any leads that would lead them to what happened to her. And they also, one more thing that's very strange, in the UK, she had put in about $18,000 for her trip in a bank account, which would make sense if she could go get money out.
Like before she went, I guess.
Okay. And that money, they located that money and it has never been touched or used. There may have been a little that had come out of it. But it was still in the bank.
Yeah.
Years later. Okay. And the podcast figures it out, I think, or either Sally figures that out. So that was strange because they're like, even if she wanted to run away, why wouldn't she have gotten that money out at her bank account there?
Yeah. If that was really her that came back to Australia with the passport for the whatever that name was.
Yeah.
Then why would she have left all that money sitting there?
Yeah. Why would she do that? And I mean, it doesn't make any sense. At the end of the first season of the Lady Vanishes podcast, a sleuth listener, she was just a housewife that couldn't sleep and decided she was going to start doing some investigating. Okay. She uncovers and she contacts the podcast that in 1994, okay, in the personals ad, there was a paper that it came out in Sydney, but it was written in French. And that's kind of confusing, but I guess there's a lot of people that speak French in Bear and a lot of other places. Okay. But this ad, 1994, and I'll tell you what it says, and then I'll tell you why this is linked to Marion or anything. So in 1994, I guess she finds this archive somehow, this paper is written in French. And in English, this is what it says. I'm a tall 47-year-old single man with brown hair, a non-smoker. I speak many languages. I own, and this is kind of translated from French. So basically, he owns multiple properties or businesses. Mm-hmm. The translation.
Yeah.
All these other awesome things about him. Okay. He talks about that he's like refined and he's looking for an unattached lady for a permanent relationship or marriage. And so he gives two ways to get in touch, a phone number and a post office box. But what's so important about this ad is the name is M.F. Rimacall.
Okay.
And she goes missing, which is 1997. Yes, it's a few years before, but this name, okay, this is not a common name in Australia.
Yeah.
Or anywhere, actually.
Yeah.
Last name. Yeah, it is like, come to find out, if she starts the sleuths, that's what they keep calling them in the podcast, which I love that, because they're like, the sleuths are on the case.
The sleuths.
They uncovered all these things, I mean, that Channel 7 and Sally couldn't even uncover. And, so this is a very odd name. And it was, now where the ad was placed was not far away from where the money was withdrawn. The banks, okay? And I know this was a few years before. So the only person they can find with this name is a man that lives in Luxembourg. Which, the passport, it said she lives in Luxembourg, okay? And there's many people that speak French in Luxembourg. That's very common. Mm-hmm. So they track down this man. And in the podcast, they go to his doorstep, okay?
Oh, God.
Yes. And so this man, he matches the age of the person that would have been in 1994. And guess what? He was also a professional soccer player, like her first husband, which is just a weird, coincidence. But let me tell you, this man, he's been married for 40 years. So they're like, okay, that's strange. So they go to his house and kind of confront him. And I'd read on some of the comments, people were like, I can't believe they confronted him like that because you'll see why later when I get into another twist in the story, okay? So they go to his house and he doesn't want to talk to him. And Sally's like, on the podcast, she was like, he wouldn't even look at me. He wouldn't shake my hand. They totally thought he was suspicious, okay? Mm-hmm. Which, why wouldn't they?
I mean, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he was going behind his wife's back and putting in personal ads, but, you know, you got to think. But he put his real name. I mean, you'll find out why maybe he didn't do that at all. So they finally get to talk to him and he says he's never known a Marion Barter. And the Lady Vanishes podcast definitely thinks that he's being suspicious and things don't add up. But all right. So while this podcast has gotten so much attention and so many things that happened in August 2020, the NSA state coroner announced the decision, this is in Australia, to hold an inquest into the disappearance and suspected death of Marion Barter.
Okay.
Okay. An inquest, and you might want to Google it because it is totally different the way they do the legal system in Australia than they are here.
So an inquest, and it was interesting to me, it's like a coroner's inquest. When there's any kind of suspicious death,
mm-hmm.
they can like force people to talk to them, which here we can take the Fifth Amendment.
Right. Can you do that?
They not do that there.
Oh.
Yeah. And it can be incriminating. You can like, I mean, they can just like force you by law.
Yeah.
If they think you have anything, if anything suspicious.
So you don't have the right to remain silent.
No. Australia. They can ask you whatever they want to ask you.
Huh. That.
Okay. So this inquest started happening in 2020. All right.
Okay.
So it's actually still happening right now. They did it like in spurts, like 10 days of inquest. And then there was time that went by and then 10 days of inquest. Okay. During the inquest, and this is not the podcast that did this. This is the coroner inquest. They uncovered a shocking witness, to say the least.
Okay. I mean, how did they find him? Like, I mean, like how?
Okay, well.
Who did they question to get?
I'll kind of, at the end, you'll kind of figure out how they found him. They announced that they have, well, the inquest is like public, okay?
Right.
It's like going on, which they've also like talked to Sally. And I think they told her a lot of stuff that she couldn't talk about because she talks about that in the podcast
mm-hmm.
while this inquest is going on. But once it becomes public, she can talk about it.
Okay.
Which is cool because it's actually just starting back. Like the first episode was this week
mm-hmm.
of the inquest. And so this witness, this shocking witness, this new witness, his name is Rick Blum. So the stuff they learn about him changes everything about the investigation.
And how did they find him?
Well, you'll find out.
Okay.
The end of what I'm saying. Yeah. So he's just this new witness. They find him. This is all right.
Okay. Right.
So he says he first met Marion in the 60s when she was married to her soccer player husband. And they had a brief affair. He says he didn't see her for 30 years. Then he says he answered a personal ad looking for companionship and was shocked to find it was his old flame, Marion.
They're bringing all the personal ads out of there, huh?
Well, there was no Bumble or what's the other one? The one that everybody's on where you swipe right or whatever. So they had Tinder. They had good personal ads, I guess, when they're looking for love or looking for.
I guess that would never do either, so I just didn't
agree. No. And so he says he answered a personal ad looking for companionship and was shocked to find out that it was her, that it was Marion. So they spent the next few nights together. They had, I guess, another affair or whatever. And he says that she told him she was leaving to go to Europe to start a school. And she asked him if she could store some belongings with him. This is what he says. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they've had a couple affairs, right?
Right.
And I'm going to get to the links here. But he says that she returned to get her stuff with a man. And he describes this man like he had like he was wearing a pilot suit. Well, funny, in the Lady Vanishes podcast, they talk about that when Marianne, because they go very in deep, okay, mm-hmm. in depth with Marianne's life and the school. And they mention, I mean, something that we'd have to have like a 3-part. I mean, it's like 50 episodes. So if that gets you. But they do mention that Marion had a crush on one of her students' dads. He was like a single dad and he was a pilot. So they mentioned this in the podcast. But come to find out, I don't know if he reciprocated her feelings, blah, blah, blah. So they were like, well, did he listen to the podcast? And that's why he's talking about that she came to my door to get her stuff with this pilot. They were like, why did he even say that? He had an outfit.
Like, where did he pull that from?
Yeah. And by the way, this witness is like an 86-year-old man. Blum man. Okay.
Okay.
He says that, yeah, they think he's listening to the podcast. And so why should we not believe this Mr. Blum, mm-hmm. you ask?
I mean, he's an 86-year-old man.
Well, turns out he's a con artist that was found out that he has used over 30 names, fake names. He had like 8 passports with different names and like, I'm just all this crazy stuff. He was an ex-con. They found out he has conned all these women from Australia to elsewhere. He was acting like a wealthy coin dealer and he got these women to like put their property in his name and it just any kind of like vulnerable woman that had any kind of money. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about you would not believe the thing. And there was like a couple women that like told in detail everything that he did. So that is very interesting. And the end of the podcast before they started the new part this week, they have like actors doing it.
Oh,
and so like being him. Yeah. So that everything he says, like when they ask him about these women that have already testified, he's like just the stuff that he says. But this is kind of crazy and sad part. Well, Mr. Blum. Oh, let me first before I get to this, let me tell you why that Mr. Blum is linked. Let me get you to where this Mr. Blum came from.
Okay.
Well, out of those 30 names that he has used throughout his life, the only one that they really care about is guess what the last name is.
Whatever that weird name is.
Remicall.
Yeah.
Okay. This man, all right,
Well, Mr. Blum's not even his real name, by the way. It's a totally different name. Okay. And not only was did he use the name Remicall, it was that this man that they went to his doorstep, the real Remicall, mm-hmm. it was his exact name, his exact birthday, everything. He had obtained a driver's license with this Remicall name and a passport. Okay. So that's how they really linked this random man. Then they find out he's this huge con artist that has scammed all these women.
Yeah.
Right? Well, guess what? Mr. Blum has been married for 40 years and has two kids. This whole time, he's been scamming these women,
meeting women, just behind ads, everything.
And she does a whole, 2 days of inquest, too.
What does she think he does for a living?
She answers these questions like, yes, no. I mean, as simple as you can answer them. They don't even have any money, supposedly. They get money from family. And he's like, well, what did you think that he was doing all these times that he was, going out of the country? Because mm-hmm. he would, travel and take these women on, vacations, which I guess it was from money that he got from other women.
Yeah, and he's, going from one to the next.
Yeah, and she said, well, he was going to visit family. And they were like, and she has two little kids. And there was this one little thing. They only shared one car because she had the kids. So she had to keep the car. And remember when there was a man with Marion and she was driving him around?
Yes.
And these other women mentioned that too because he didn't have a car.
Yeah.
He rode the bus or something every day to work because that was just their routine because he didn't, the wife took the car.
Did you say he was in his 80s?
Now. Back then,
we're talking about that, right? I forgot. Yeah.
That was a tie, obviously. So this poor man that they thought was him, and they go to his front door.
Yeah.
And his wife of 40 years, and he's like, I've never met a Marion Barter. And I mean, and he also probably even said to Marion that he was a footballer. I mean, he's using this guy.
There's no telling what he said.
Think about there wasn't, it was a vague little bit of an internet, but there wasn't a whole bunch of stuff on the internet
in 1997.
Yeah. And so that, of course, was one of the reasons they connected it. And this was so strange. Okay, that the man that he used his last name, Blum had ties in Luxembourg. Also, come to find out, Blum had even conned Remicall's, the real man Remicall, his ex-wife. And Blum had met this Remicall man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're connected all these dots. And they also tracked down the phone number in the 1994 personal ad. And with the name Remicall on it that says Remicall, that was the last name. And guess what? The number that they trace back, who they trace the number back to?
The old man.
Blum. They said they do pronounce it Blum Bloom. And so obviously that's the connection. So another thing that they figured out in the inquest that when Marion left for the UK,
mm-hmm.
this Remicall passport was used, or no, it was not used. And I don't think at that time he used the Remicall passport. I think he used the Blum. But he had left a couple days later than Marion. Then Marion had to go to the UK. And then when she returned to Australia with that name, that Florabella, whatever, he had returned a couple days later as well.
So she really did go and come back. Yes. She really did.
She really did. And it's the last few episodes, though, of him being questioned. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The skirting around and the things that he does. So it is actually going on right now.
So we still don't know where Marion is?
Marion, we still don't know where she is. So it's either she was either met with foul play, or they even said, what if she was so embarrassed that we know he's a con artist. We know he scams women. We know he's a dirty John or whatever. We know all these things, right? Mm-hmm. Well, is he a murderer? I don't know. I mean,
but she still has money in a bank in the UK. It sounds like she's.
I don't think she's alive. No.
Yeah.
She's alive.
Yeah.
That's where the coroner's inquest comes into play.
Yeah.
They think she's dead, but they're like, how she died. Was it, will they ever find out? I don't know, but
I'm not going to get out
because
Blum is 86.
Yeah. And he is, but they think either, obviously he did something to her, or they said, what if she committed suicide? Because she was so ashamed and embarrassed of that this man had taken everything. Because these other women, he would just.
That was kind of extreme.
I know.
I mean, she would have gone and gotten the money from the UK, at least mailed it to Sally and then off herself. I don't think she was just sitting there.
Yeah. That's true. And what I think is strange is it's just to me, I think it's weird that people feel sorry for the wife.
Maybe she called him out and was going to rat him out and try to get in trouble.
Well, most women did find out.
Yeah.
There was one woman that they definitely found out who was married. And I think that she left him or whatever, but he had already taken all her money. And I guess maybe she didn't threaten to tell. I don't know. But there was most of the time he left him high and dry. He got as much as he could from him before he moved on to the next. But you think, I think it.
So she was going in and getting money out.
Mm-hmm. They definitely have figured that out.
Every day. So that's...
But they said if it's her money, why didn't she go out and just get a big sum?
Yeah, something...
You can get your own money out. But maybe they said, and they did say this, that maybe in 1997 there was... Maybe you could only get $5,000 out a day.
In the world would he have been telling her to get her to go to the bank every day in Australia and not see her family?
Well, they said that he did try to separate these other women from their family.
Yeah.
Because I think... He even, like, tried to, like, put his name on the deed of this one lady's house. It's crazy. The lady's talking about it, because obviously he's not telling the truth and everything he says.
Well,
he did say one lady seduced him because she was a belly dancer and all that. And you're like, everybody's like, what?
How much money do belly dancers have that you can
spend all the money? I don't know. Her husband had divorced, and she had gained some property. So he contacts her and... tells her, we're going to start this. Will you help me start this rare coin business? Because all my money's tied up because I'm so rich and wealthy. I mean, the things he did and told this woman, and he's got a wife the whole time.
And so she's just at home taking care of the kids.
Yes. But what I think is she had to have known something.
There's no way she could have known something was up, but maybe she didn't know to the.
But he was also probably not bringing all that money home because he was spending it on the other women.
Yeah. It's like I conned you out of this money. And now the money that I'm taking from you, I'm going to go over here to Joyce and we're going to go on a cruise. And then I'm going to take Joyce's money. And then
he probably wasn't bringing that money home. He's probably bringing a small amount. So maybe
just
she did
to feed their kids probably and get
but
by.
Could you imagine? So that comes out. I mean, that he's had all these affairs. I mean, it comes out and they're like, well, what did your wife say?
Can I listen to it now?
Listen to it now. Because especially now, because it just started back over. Now, they haven't, the inquest, they haven't played those yet, the new inquest. And they're going to be with him, with Bloom. And we call him that. But he's had, like I said, that's not even his
real name. Who knows what his real name
is? Not even his real name.
And
like, they really don't know what his original...
They do know his name. And it's like Wilkerson or something. And I don't know. He's from Germany or I think that's what it was. Don't quote me on that. But his wife, they would like ask her, they were like, well, did you think it was odd he was changing his name so many times? And I know she doesn't want to like incriminate him. They've been married 40 years. But honestly, I don't know. I think I'd be so mad if I had just found all this stuff out. I don't know. I'd be answering no. Yes. But I might be like, no, you tell me no. What do you know?
I don't know. There's
no way she couldn't have known that something was up. I mean, if he didn't hold a job and somebody, he was bringing money home, what was he telling her?
I mean, I can't even believe, like, we've seen all these, like, shows on Netflix and all this. I mean, this guy, I swear, he, like, takes the cake as scammers. So that's how it happens. They link his number. That's how they got to him. They link that number registered in that ad found.
Yeah.
not even the investigators.
Stay at home mom. Not like a trained person. Like,
actually, on Monday's episode, I think it came out this past Monday, they interview her. And they talk about, like, which I loved. They got to listen to that. And they were like, well, how did you, like, get down to this? Because, I mean, it is, like, a couple years before, but it was the name. That's, you know.
It just really sounds kind of basic, though, that the detective should have looked at the phone number from the...
Well, they never even knew this ad existed, though.
Oh, that's right. She found that.
The sleuths found them. That's what they call them in the podcast. I know I've said that, but it's just funny because I get excited about them calling them sleuths. They call them the super sleuths and the super sleuths team. And she has like this girl and Marianne, no, excuse me, this girl and Sally have become like really good friends. The one that found the ad. And it was just because she had for the last name. And then I guess what it said and it described the age and everything would be exactly what Bloom was at that time.
Yeah.
Which. I think it was around the same time as the footballer, the guy that played soccer. That it was just a weird connection. Like, and Sally doesn't even know if he really met her mom. They're like, because apparently this first husband was the love of her life. And she always said that. And they were like, would she have really even had an affair with him? They don't even know if they met that first time.
Yeah.
They think that he just kind of made that up.
I mean, she might have had a fling.
But why would he have made that up, though? Because it's like when the ad came out, why didn't he just... So he's admitting I answered a personal... He's married this whole time.
Most people don't care about that.
And his wife never still married. I can't even. 40 years later.
I don't know this lady, but she's probably like... You know,
they're in their 80s.
At this point, what's the point in getting mad now? She's in her 80s.
Actually, it was not 40 years. They've been married 40 years. If they're in their 80s, they've been married like 60 years. The first guy had been married, Remicon had been married for 40 years. Yeah. This guy's been married like probably 60 years.
So Miss Bloom, or whoever,
yeah.
What what point is there to her being in her 80s and getting pissed off about it now? I mean, she's like, yeah, the whole time I've been dude. Yep.
It sounds like Clue. Miss Bloom.
Yeah.
Mr. Bloom.
I mean, I just don't think she probably didn't have the energy to get mad because really.
No, I don't think she does.
What's the point now? She's like, whatever. Yeah, I was fooled. What do you want to know?
I definitely think that's the case.
Yeah. I mean, like maybe 20 years ago, she would have been like, oh, well, let me tell you what I know. But yeah, now she's like,
they're in their
grave. Who's about to die? Would they get mad?
They are, which is kind of crazy that he's still alive because a lot of these people are not alive.
Lived a pretty good life on Linda and Betty and Gloria and whoever
everybody else is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the two. So if you listen to The Lady Vanishes, they tell their story. And then he gets questioned. The wife gets questioned. Then he gets questioned. It's like they left him for last. Mm-hmm. And I think his questioning is still going on.
Okay.
And in Australia, they make you do this, which I think is kind of crazy. And here, we
talked about picking up now. Yeah. Listen to it.
Yeah. Because it is crazy that they've never found her. But Sally feels like now she has a pretty good idea of what happened to her. I mean, it's just all these pieces.
She feels like she's probably not. Hiding out from her.
And that she didn't voluntarily just stop. Maybe he was like, we're starting this new life. We're doing this. You can't talk to anybody.
Because how old would Marion be now?
She would be 74, I think.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It's so sad, though.
It is sad, but
I don't know. It's just interesting because you just really think this lady left on her own. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, and come to find out, somebody was just like, talked to her. It wasn't even in person. No one saw her in person when she said that she didn't want a life. I think didn't want her old life. I think that it was that one, those personal things that made, they do ask you security questions,
yeah.
I guess. But I think the police just called the bank and the bank told them. But the bank probably didn't want to admit that they weren't really giving them, if they weren't really giving the money to Marion the whole time.
Yeah. They didn't want to admit that. Yeah. If she called the bank and somebody else came and got it or whatever. Yeah. You know, I mean, in trouble.
I don't know. I do think we know she changed her name, though. That was a fact because that happened.
Which is odd.
She left. Yeah. But she kept Marion, but she put her last name to Remicall. So, of course, okay, if you're going to have a fake life, right, mm-hmm. you're not going to use your real name. So Marion probably thought.
Why couldn't she just have life be herself and just go live somewhere else?
Because the man conned her into all that and convinced her. Yeah, it wasn't her idea to.
It probably wasn't even her idea. Okay, he got her to change her name so that her kids couldn't find her and couldn't find him.
Okay, we don't think
it wasn't even her idea to move to the UK.
I don't even think it was her idea.
So we think that he swooped in even before.
Because she sold her house and these other women he got to sell their house too.
Oh, okay.
So that was his MO.
I said he was in it a long game.
Yeah. I don't think he was in it for a long game. I think he was going to get out of it once he took all her money.
But he was working as long as he had to. Because, I mean, he must have started a while before.
He had to have started a couple of years before.
Yeah, at least.
Well, maybe it wasn't as constant. Or maybe she was more in her involved in his her job and he was more involved in his family at those couple years.
Yeah.
Well, it was 1997 when she went on vacation, 94 when the ad. They could have talked for 3 years. I mean, obviously they did.
Yeah, and he just worked it.
He worked it
and just began,
I don't think just
worked her
right after one at meeting an ad.
No way.
She'd sell her house, quit her job, you know, quit her job and go to say she's going on a year long holiday. No. I think that she really did think they were going on a year long holiday. Okay.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh my gosh, we ran out of money. We got to go back and get your money because I can't get a hold of my money. I mean,
yeah, you're probably right. It's right up in my coin collection. The crap.
Yeah. And then he goes back, but this is the question. Maybe she did come back. Maybe she did take the money out. But then what?
But then where did she go?
What happened to Marion Barter?
Poor Marion.
That's the question. So go listen to either the prosecutors. They have a 2-part. If you want to know more about the story, but The Lady Vanishes, I got sucked in. I was like listening to it at like 12:30 at night. Still listening to podcasts, which I never do. I listen to them like when I'm cleaning and doing things that I like couldn't quit. I was not watching TV like I do it normally. I was listening to The Lady Vanishes. You got to listen to it.
I will.
All right.
Definitely. Yay. That's a good one. I'm excited about having something good to listen to now.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for listening and go ahead. And we are almost ready to do a campfire story. Mm-hmm. But if you want campfire episode story, if you want to email us any stories, please email us at twoblondesleuths@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Like, subscribe.
Rate, review, 5 stars is preferred.
The chart, Instagram, Facebook.
Yes.
Everything like that.
And we'll be back next week.
Yes.
Next week. Yeah, next week.
All right.